I was an only child, until the weekend came. Then our small house filled with aunts and uncles, great aunts and great uncles, cousins of all degrees, and my father's Army Air Corps friends. A tribe so large and so loud, I never felt alone in their presence. They came to talk at my father and help my mother. "Hey, Boyche, how's the old man? Steverino, sit down and tell me what's cooking. Hello, doll, give your aunt a big wet kiss." In the summer, they gathered in the backyard beneath towering oak and maple trees, surrounding my father like a Jewish hydra with 20 heads, yakking about Jack Benny, Israel, and astronauts. They stopped gabbing and gesticulating only to consume bagels and chock-full of nuts. My father sat at the center of their coiled embrace in a sturdy metal wheelchair, elbows resting on padded blue armrests, hands folded stiffly across his stomach. His two legs listed to the left, as if stuck to the frame. The white short-sleeved shirt he wore was newly ironed. His thinning brown hair carefully trimmed by the Italian barber who came to our house every month to take care of him and me. My father's face was smooth on the weekend. My mother shaved him on Friday mornings. She pretended to shave my face, too. I could always find my father. He never moved. My uncles played ball with me and carried me on their shoulders, but my father was for hugging. On summer days, I liked to climb up on his lap and sit at the center of the family circle. I slumped against his chest, his arms around me. Every few minutes, he'd let loose a kind of strangled cackle, his distinctive laugh, because the men in this circle were all kibitzers. They lived to tell jokes, to surprise with the punchline. Uncle Harold, who taught me to sing Broadway show tunes and dance around the maypole. Uncle Milt, who sold girdles and made me memorize the names of philosophers to study when I grew up. Ponti, Husserl, and Arendt. Great Uncle George, who smoked a big, smelly cigar, composed music, and built pianos. I didn't understand their jokes, but my father loved them. His bony legs quaked beneath my thighs. His right hand twitched against my ribs. When he laughed, his large nose, crooked grin, and tortoiseshell sunglasses all scrunched up together. The women of the tribe were arrayed opposite the men. Aunt Deli, with jet black hair, smoking a parliament that she'd set aside in the ashtray, kissed with red lipstick. Aunt Fran, her eyebrows heavily penciled, clutching a shiny gold cigarette case and pitching her 100-decibel voice. Great Aunt Jean, whose impossibly large lips were painted like apples or oranges. They flanked my mother, who relaxed in an aluminum-frame lawn chair. She wore navy blue slacks and a plaid shirt. Enormous round sunglasses shaded her eyes from the high noon sun. Her slight build and girlish bangs made her seem younger than her 34 years. The daughter of a learned Orthodox Jew, she was often mistaken for Irish, with her fair complexion, sandy hair, and hazel eyes. But here, among friends and sisters-in-law, there could be no doubt of her origins. She had been an only child. Her parents, immigrants from Eastern Europe, had long since died. When she married Seymour Mills, known by all as Cy, she was adopted by his tight-knit clan. On Saturday nights, they set up camp in our house. Sleeping quarters materialized out of thin air. Fold-up cots unfolded. A sofa and its cushions blossomed into a bed for two or three. Army sleeping bags proliferated. I had too much fun to sleep.
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.